Looking at here, as you can see from the slides tonight, the inquisitional nature of the woke culture cult. There are cults, of course, which are within so-called Christianity that aren't really Christian. And then there are cults that are outside of Christianity that are actually anti-Christian. And this is certainly true of the woke culture. It is a cult. Now, I would not think that there would be many people who would willfully put their children in a situation where they know that those children are going to be groomed for immoral sexuality. Yet that is exactly what's being done today. And I've said many times over the years, if you don't sacrifice to get your children out of those systems, you will sacrifice your children to those systems. And that is exactly what's happening today. Now, we've been preaching that message for 40-some years, 50 years. We've watched parents continue to compromise in order to keep their children in situations because it is convenient and less expensive for them. But is it less expensive? Because over those 50 years, I have seen literally thousands of children whose lives have been totally ruined by the immorality of the culture. Now, who are we talking about when we talk about the woke culture? First of all, millennials, those are people born from 1997 to 1992. And what is called Gen X, those are born from 1965 to 1976, are in most part educationally indoctrinated into a view of American society that has rewritten history in order to villainize the founders of the United States of America. And certainly the founders of our nation were but flesh and were culpable for beliefs and practices that are unacceptable by modern political correctness or even theological scrutiny. They weren't perfect. None of us ever are. Cultures create the people out of which they come. And it is in the intent of God's purpose in ordaining the church and Christianity to be a counterculture to those cultures and to do what they can to correct that culture. But the millennials and Gen X generations are in most part marginal and liberal Christians. And by their majority views are really either agnostics, agnostic may simply means I don't know, or atheists. And they're following the beliefs of scientific empiricism without any real investigation of the credibility of the prejudices of the prophets of those facets of that belief. And by the way, scientific empiricism has evolved into a religion. It is no longer scientific at all. They don't want to be investigated. The very nature of science is to investigate, is to question. But they don't want to be questioned. That's part of the woke culture. So as we look at this, because of their facets of unbelief, there's a lack of any real scrutiny for viability. And these people are easily manipulated, controlled, weaponized against those with any opposing views, especially towards conservative Christians. And it is going to get much more radical. I think we're going to see another Inquisition coming from this culture. And of course, as they continue to ordain and elect liberal justices, court judges, they will begin very quickly to take most of this away. My wife today told me that a Christian couple who had gone through all the process of adopting some children, they spent thousands of dollars, were finally told at the last end of their adoption process that they would not be able to get the children if they did not just sign a document that they would raise the children within transgender culture, homosexual culture, and agree to that. So they backed out. But in this weaponization of millennials and Gen X and its progeny of those generations, we're seeing the rapid advancement of most of the global cultures into an inquisitional mindset of hatred, intent upon the elimination of the voices of opposing views, leaning towards the imprisonment and even death of those with opposing views. And we know of many people, and we could give you quite a long list of them, who have been imprisoned for vocalizing biblical views against woke culture. Pretty soon it will be that. It will be against the law for parents to shelter their children from the indoctrination of the woke culture. And they are already threatening to take children away from parents who will not allow their children to be taught about the woke culture and the transgender culture, which are essentially merged together. Now, the new developing aristocracy of wokeism has an inquisitional spirit of euthanasia. And that euthanasia is being moved towards their opposition, just like that of Roman Catholicism, just like that of Stalinism in Russia, just like Chiang Kai-shek in communist China, Pol Pot in Vietnam. But in Stalin's great purge of his opposition in Russia, it's estimated he had murdered or starved to death anywhere from 6 million to 20 million people. And most people believe it's on the higher end of that scale. In the first 20 years of Chiang Kai-shek's reign in communist China, he systematically reduced the population of China by 10 million people. This inquisitional euthanasia certainly is a parallel to that of the Antichrist in the last 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. Otherwise, we've already seen these things happen within numerous cultures. Now we're going to see these things happen on a worldwide scale. And of course, that is going to happen against, remember, the all genuine believers, born-again believers, will be out of here. And there will be those as the numbers of the sands of the sea who get saved during the tribulation time. And these will be against that culture. Now, that's after the trib. What we're seeing right now is before the trib, and it is a precedent for the coming of the sound of the trumpet calling us home and the beginning of the tribulation time. So the woke culture is impregnated with the evil of this inquisitional attitude and spirit of euthanasia of its opposition, as told to us in Revelation 13:11-18. What do I mean? It's already there. It's already impregnated. The culture is already developing, and it's developing all over the world. If you're a Christian, you stand against this culture, they hate you. They would do everything they can to silence your voice. It will not be long before we will see people trying to break down the doors of the church or to do what they can to silence our voice. That is par and parcel for the course. Now look at Revelation 13:16. This is in the tribulation after the first 3.5 years. And it is now Antichrist has presented himself to the Jews in the temple of God in Israel. And he's presented himself as God, and they have rejected him. And now he begins to persecute the Jews as well. It says in verse 16, and he, the Antichrist, causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. All the woke culture won't mind that at all. They'll jump on that bandwagon right away. But unbelievers who believe the Bible won't do it. And he says in that no man who does not have that mark might buy or sell, save he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now here's wisdom or understanding. Here is explaining. Let him that hath understanding, that's the believer, count the number of the beast, for it is the number of man, which is 6, and his number is 666, or 666. Now it's a noble endeavor to resist unjust oppression and unfounded prejudices aimed at certain individuals or groups. Now I say unfounded prejudice because there are some prejudices that are founded. I don't like to eat eyeballs. That's a prejudice, right? Other people enjoy. Some cultures enjoy eating sheep's eyeballs and tongue and intestines and everything else. But I have a prejudice against that. It also causes a gag reflex when I hear those things. I have a prejudice against that. There are some prejudices that are acceptable by our culture. But there are also varying degrees of prejudices that become unacceptable anymore. One of those is to be prejudiced against individuals who hold to different values than I hold. Now, that's not scriptural. Scriptural, we are to be discerning about those things. We're to have those prejudices, but without being unkind. That's scriptural. We can have our differences. I can have considerable differences with Lutherans and Catholics, but I don't have to be unkind to them. I don't have to be mean-spirited. But these oppressive attitudes and actions are a constant source of frustration for anyone with a functioning conscience if they're unjust or oppressive. So this frustration is especially active in the hearts and minds of those who believe and practice individual soul liberty. I can vehemently disagree with someone. I remember once at a large conference I had someone who said something to me that I just thought was totally unscriptural. And I said, well, I completely disagree with what you said, but I will die for your right to say it. See, that is the way individual soul liberty is supposed to work. We have fought over the years in our nation for that right, for people with a dissenting voice to say whatever they want to say. So individual soul liberty is a belief that people have a God-given freedom, an inalienable right, to live their lives according to the dictates of their own conscience and chosen belief. And if those beliefs and practice thereof do not infringe upon the lives of others. Otherwise, I can believe whatever I want, but I can't believe I can just go out and kill anybody. I don't believe I can have justly go out and steal from someone or take property that belongs to them. There are those who say that owning property is a sin, and therefore they can take your property. Right now we have laws against that. But that doesn't mean that it isn't rapidly moving that way, because we have liberal DAs who just won't prosecute them. So determining the point of infringement, you get this now? Determining the point of infringement is usually the responsibility of civil government. It is always a precarious venture with much politics involved, because there are people from both sides that, when you have determined a point of infringement, when your rights now infringe upon the rights of others, whereby now that has to be a law that is passed that you can't do that anymore. And that's where politics come. Now, that's what we have in the abortion issue. We have the rights of a woman who wants to have sexual freedom with, even if she gets pregnant, and wants to kill her baby if it becomes an issue. Well, the culture said that she can do that. Up until and almost after, in many cultures, up until the day that child is born. In fact, if it is born alive, they can let the baby die. That is the woke culture. So the woke culture is a culture of immorality. Hiding behind the disguise of racial prejudice to gain sympathy of those who rightly hate racial prejudices. And so they've drawn in a lot of people who rightly hate racial prejudices. I hate racial prejudices. First of all, I don't believe there's any such thing as racist, but I hate certainly someone who is prejudiced against someone simply because of the color of their skin or the way they talk, a different language, or because their structure of their body is a little different. But the subtlety of the woke culture is that it demands an affirmation of equality. Not just a toleration of it anymore, but an affirmation of equality and acceptance, while at the same time generating a blanket condemnation of hatred for anyone declaring the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, or questioning intersex or asexual. That's what that letters, all those letters mean, LGBTQIA+, as either immoral or mentally imbalanced. Now, we'll deal with this issue of how this has now become normal later on through the so-called science of psychology. So adherence of the philosophy requiring affirmation of the woke culture cult, their agenda, have made almost all the state universities and other forms of public education and government weaponized indoctrination centers where any voice of opposition is radicalized, marginalized, censored, silenced, and even made illegal. And it's going to spread rapidly. Now, any psychiatrist or psychologist can lose his or her license to practice if he or she treats any sexual deviation from heterosexual practices as anything other than normal. Therapists and counselors will be sued for malpractice for treating any non-heterosexual person to change their sexual practices. Although they can change genders, sex or surgically, if anybody wants it. But there's a one-way door there. So teachers and workers in most industries will be fired from their jobs if they voice their religious beliefs against the ever-widening woke culture or oppose the fact that those of the woke culture cult are grooming children for acceptance of their practices and for later seduction. God addressed the woke culture clearly in Romans 1:22-27 and the all-encompassing statement of verses 25, who changed the truth of God, what? Into a lie. Look there to Romans 1:27. Now, this culture professes themselves to be wise, but it's a worldly wisdom. That is the whole science of psychology, and they're developing a moralism. So professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up unto uncleanness through the lust of their own bodies, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, because they changed the truth of God into a lie, For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their own lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which meet or fit. There are some places in the world I can get arrested and put in prison just for reading that verse of Scripture, that portion of Scripture. And I don't think that's very far away here in our own nation. Perhaps in Minnesota we'll be one of the leading states because it is one of the most liberal states in the Union. The rapid rise of immoralism, ah means no morals. The rapid rise of immoralism, as it defines the woke culture, can be credited to the pseudoscience of psychiatry as developed by Sigmund Freud and the practitioners of his methodologies, giving his assumptions equal credibility to the scriptures. In fact, in most cultures today, they will be given credibility above the scriptures. And the scriptures must bow to Freudian amoralism. Psychiatry is the study of the soul being done by people who do not believe in the soul. And so in the Freudian and Darwinian view, human beings are just another species of animals with more complex psychologies of dysfunctional pathologies. And that's all they are. And everyone is to some degree dysfunctional. Now, we would agree with that. We're sinners. And by that, we are dysfunctional. But Freud wrote his own Bible about moralism. Freud believed morality was different for everyone. My morality, what's immoral for me, or moral for me, might not be immoral for you, or moral for you. So Freud believed and taught that morality was totally subjective. Otherwise, you got to choose. Freud labeled anyone proposing any kind of religiously objective morality as a psychological radical, in that objective morality, otherwise definable, specific, absolute morality, demanded the existence of a higher power, of a God, of which he denied existence. So radical morality, with foundations of belief in a higher power, was to be culturally exposed, ridiculed, and eliminated for the psychological health of any culture. So the pseudoscience of psychology is the foundation of the woke culture cult, where it sources its credibility and why it is anti-Christ. Are there some psychologists and psychiatrists who are good people? Well, of course there are. But the science, if you deny the existence of the soul, if you deny at biblical absolutes, then you are antichrist. Now, in Freud's book, he wrote a book called Civilization and Its Discontents. Freud stated that morality was a social construct, otherwise we invented it. And it was a social construct to correct and control human aggression. So here's how we control people. We have to have this morality. Freud's superego, what had been historically known as the conscience before Freud, he changed all these terms, is completely divorced from any notion of a higher power beyond oneself, and completely divorced from biblical absolutes. Otherwise, that whole superego says, I believe there is a God, and he is me. In this scenario, every choice is no longer moral, but merely personal and subjective, only one's own personal values, ethics, completely divorced from any other person's values or ethics. Freud simply took biblical Christian terminology, changed the terms and meaning, and then assigned those terms secular meaning, thereby divorcing the human soul, the human psyche, from God and from moral accountability. This defines progressive secular humanism. This is where we are today. Socialism and secular humanism have married together. And out of that has come wokeism. Now, cultures and societies are diverse in their values and ethics. Go outside of these doors and walk around, you'd find thousands of different people, and none of them believe exactly the same. None of them have exactly the same cultures or values or ethics. We have some similarities, but there's a wide diversity. Individual soul liberty allows for prejudices and disagreement regarding individual life choices and allows for discussion and voicing those differences regarding beliefs and values. This ought to happen even within the home to some degree. Now, not everyone is a person of faith, and there are many different types of beliefs with as many different positions on what is moral or immoral. I find that even within our own church. In most of the world, free discussion on these differences was forbidden and even persecuted. That's why we had so many people moving to the colonies. Those teaching the Bible doctrine of individual soul liberty proposed a radical departure from persecution of those with differing views. That was open discussion. What's another word for that? Freedom of speech. Freedom of press. Individual soul liberty was the foundation for both the freedom of speech and the press in the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States, led by Baptist pastors who influenced Madison and Jefferson to put that into the amendments of the Constitution. Now, most of the immigrants to the original 13 colonies came from European nations. And these immigrants were willing to risk life and limb to venture to a new world to escape religious oppression and the inquisitional nature of state churches in England and most of Europe. Otherwise, they just left it all behind to come here. Many of them put themselves into indentured slavery for 5, 6, 7 years to come here, and somebody would pay their way to get here, pay their transportation, and then they support them for 7 years while those people work for them free, essentially as slaves for as many years it took to pay off that, in order to get here to have these freedoms. Roman Catholicism, the Church of England, Lutheranism in Germany, Calvinism in much of the rest of Europe, were inquisitional at their worst and radically oppressive at their best. Millions were killed just because they talked about what they believed or read the Bible after they began to print them in English or the other languages. Now, within the European inquisitional culture, to even mention the doctrine of individual soul liberty brought the threat of torture and death upon the household espousing this freedom. Inquisitional means the controlling factions were willing to torture and kill those with opposing voices and practices. Discussions of differences was forbidden. That is the woke culture. They will silence it. You'll see this on the internet and on the news constantly. A conservative individual or someone who has conservative religious values goes to a university to speak or to teach, he will be boycotted, silenced, and shouted down. A discussion will not even be allowed to take place. So the woke culture becomes inquisitional the moment it seeks to force their values, their beliefs, their practices on anyone, or tries to censor or silence the voices of their opposition. And at present, the woke culture is rapidly becoming an inquisitional culture, making cults out of all forms of public education. When you send your child to a public school or a public college, a state college or a state university, You are sending your child to be indoctrinated by a cult. Dissenting voices are being censored, silenced, ridiculed, socially ostracized, and even imprisoned. And this inquisitional culture describes the developing new world order of the rapidly advancing nature of political globalism. We are seeing this before the rapture, because the foundations have to be in place. It is going to advance rapidly after the rapture. Now, anyone choosing to disassociate with certain cultures, or separate from certain cultures, or belief systems, because the practices of that culture are an affront against one's own beliefs, should have the individual liberty to do so. Individual soul liberty to do so. The woke culture cult demands individual soul liberty and freedom of speech for themselves, but refuses it to anyone disagreeing with them. This inquisitional nature is what makes a woke culture a cult. And the woke culture is cultic because it espouses the doctrine of hate and opposes any kind of diversity that speaks against their amoral values. And therefore, the woke culture cult is rabid in its inquisitional attitudes, especially towards biblical Christians. It has been equally true down through the centuries of all of these inquisitional people who hate anyone who disagrees with them. Now, what do I mean by that? They're willing to kill them. They're willing to torture them. So espousing dogmatic positions here, espousing dogmatic positions based upon biblical absolutes, can be a difficult road to traverse without causing offense. We have to expect that there's going to be somebody that's offended. However, the biblicist goal can never adapt to any form of compromising the message of what God says to avoid being labeled as radical or to avoid the offense that is inherent in the absolutes of God's edicts against sin and carnality. In the tension of the discussion between people who have opposing views, the Bible believer should not be mean-spirited or unkind towards those that disagree with God's message. But individual soul liberty for oneself demands it must be given to everyone regardless of the diversity within the tension of disagreement until it infringes upon the rights of others. Now, however, this does not mean a culture cannot decide when some belief or practice becomes dangerous or society and should be outlawed. The reason why much of this sexual diversity was outlawed because they knew that their goal was eventually to get to the kids. And that is what we would do that today. So passing these kind of laws should not be confused with fascism or kingdom constructionism. Passing these types of laws become the main tension of culture and political dynamics within the discussion of differences, and it must be approached with great caution. Lest I push too far and not allow someone that diversity or not give some degree that toleration. At the same time, I have to speak the truth. So individual soul liberty naturally begins to move in the direction of libertarianism. Libertarians believe no personal rights should ever be infringed upon, limited, or outlawed. That's not the same as biblical Christianity. Now, individual soul liberty allows some libertarian view. But this is a present extremism of the evolution of libertarianism regarding such things as alcohol prohibition, the prohibition of other drugs, and or the practices of human sexuality. Libertarians are constantly pushing the boundaries of personal liberties. Otherwise, there are no fences, there are no cliffs, there are no boundaries. All is should be acceptable. But when does it begin to infringe upon others? To have a drag queen performing dances before a group of third graders, is that when it's moved too far? Now, I'd say it's already moved way, way too far. Libertarianism is different than individual soul liberty, in that radical libertarians believe cultural boundaries should have no limitations, especially when cultural boundaries infringe upon and begin to cross over into the personal rights and boundaries of others. This kind of libertarianism believes there should be no cultural boundaries on moral choices. And the absolute demand for no cultural boundaries on moral choices is what defines the woke culture cult. No, we will have no restrictions on anything. Now, how long will it be before we have open public sexuality? Now you say, well, it's already happening. It's already happening. Many cultures, that's already happening. Many cities, even within our United States, open public sexual practices. The woke culture cult believes anyone disagreeing with their amoralism view of society must be labeled as being oppressive, prejudiced, and fascist. And thereby a new form of racism is advanced into a culture now defining anyone with a political views or a moral agenda of restriction or moral boundaries or what defines those moral boundaries. If you are involved in that, you are a racist. That's not true. That is not racism. Anyone offering any condemnation of immoral practices within human sexuality is now labeled as a racist and included within racism. Now, this was a similar time in history of the nation of Israel when the leaders of Israel essentially told God's prophet to give a message back to God. And they said to God, go ahead and do your work. And we'll look at that next week. Now, we have a cult growing in our nation. How do you deal with a cult? Well, you expose it. You expose it for what it is. But remember, every time you expose it for what it is, you put yourself at risk. And let me say that today, the vast majority of Christians are not willing to put themselves at risk. So, as we've seen with most evangelicalism, they have taken a middle ground. And they don't even realize that that middle ground is no longer existing. Toleration is no longer acceptable. There must now be affirmation. And there's a radical difference. So, what do we do then? Well, we have to pray. We have to pray. Pray for our country. Pray for people, win souls, make disciples. Do what you can in the culture. Be vocal. Even if it costs you everything. And it will cost you everything. Let's pray. Father God, tonight we thank you for this time together. And Lord, we have much more we can say about this. We praise you and thank you for your word. And give us strength, grace, and courage to do what we can in the face of the onslaught of antichristism. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.